Well, a couple things to keep in mind before we look at that passage. Some folks who need your prayers. Elena Alvarez is in Baldock having knee replacement surgery. That's Elena Dornan's mother. And if you know somebody who had knee replacement surgery, you know that's a painful road in recovery. So pray for Elena, if you would. And Dawn and Claire Gail Winklevoss are faithful in our fellowship. Claire Gail lost her sister this past week, so pray for her, that God would comfort her and just give her a lift. And then Kaylee Ricker is an 18-month-old little one who's, Lord willing, going to be adopted by the Ricker family. So she's having surgery this Tuesday and really need God's help and health to be with the little one. And, you know, won't understand what's happening to her, and parents needing good news from the results of that surgery. Please pray for Kaylee Ricker and her parents. That'll be a great blessing. This afternoon, I'd invite you to come and pray for about an hour or however much time you could stay down at the Irwin Park there on Pennsylvania Avenue, a once-a-year gathering of Christians to pray for pro-life concerns, that God would protect life in our nation and just surround that issue with His will and His care. And if you've never been a part of that, you go and you get a little prayer board there, and you stand on Pennsylvania Avenue with about 152 other people, and you just pray for a while and ask for God's help concerning that issue. And it's a real life changer for us as we pray, and it makes an impact on our nation. And Lord knows we need prayer in regards to that. So pray that the Lord's good will be done, and that His way would be known in the hearts of people in regards to pro-life. Also, if you know Christ and you haven't been baptized, He invites you to do so. He says, believe and be baptized. And I invite you to consider that and be a part of that. On November 15th, we'll have a baptism service here at the 1045 service. So I know God will bless. Open your heart up to that if you haven't followed the Lord in that way. And it's a way of saying, I belong to Christ. And it's a great testimony to God, and it gives encouragement to other people. So we could have a raise of hands today. How many have not been baptized? And would you do that? Would you follow the Lord in that way? That would be great. And then be in prayer for Ted Sauvey coming to be with us for messages on the 1st of November. Boy, a good servant of God, really loves to see people move close to Christ, and so that's going to be a real blessing for us. Pray that God would speak to your heart during that service and invite others to come with you if you would. We're having communion 1 week later that month. That'll be November 8th. So we thank God for what He has planned for us in the immediate future here in our gatherings. Remember, the prayer to especially pray this month is, Lord, change my attitude. Lord, change my attitude. And that comes from the passage in Philippians 2, a little earlier than Philippians 4 there, which says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. And when you think of the way Jesus thought and what His attitude was about the Father and about life, you might say, wow, you know, God has a lot of work to do on me. When He says, have the same attitude, have the same mindset that Christ had. And think about the Lord. What was His mindset? That was described in Philippians. It was one of humility. It was one of being a servant. It was one of obeying God. It was one of being at one purpose with the Father. You know, and it was one of emptying Himself. And you look at all those qualities, you can say, you know, those qualities aren't really sought after today in the lives of people. You know, but by the grace of God, we could say, we can have that same attitude. That would be real freeing for us to follow Christ in that manner with the same mind and way of thinking that He did. So that's a blessing that God would give to us. Last week, the prayer was, Lord, change my attitude from complaining to thankfulness. We do have so many more blessings than even trials. That's true in our lives. And then this week, it's, Lord, change my attitude from coveting to contentment. From coveting to contentment. And coveting is a problem that each one of us have, according to the Lord. It's one of our 10 big sins. Listed in the Ten Commandments, God warns us about. Coveting can destroy our relationship with God and mess up other relationships also. Coveting is taking something in creation and saying, I really need that. I want that to have any fulfillment or goodness in my life. Okay, and going after that as if that was almost like God himself. And we were never meant to do that. There's part of the commandment in the 10th one that kind of gives us hope that maybe we could obey God in this area. The Lord says, do not covet your neighbor's donkey. Okay, I think that's one area maybe we're hitting 100% obedience on that one. At least in that part of our discipleship, we're going well. Do not covet your neighbor's donkey. But everything else that's out there, that might be a source of difficulty or idolatry for us. If we go after things that we put before God. A poll was given to folks in our country recently with the question, do you think an increase in wealth would cause you to be happy or would be the source of your happiness? And two-thirds of people said yes. 75% of young people said yes. You know, if I just have more, then joy will come into my life. Many people who have more or get more would tell us otherwise, you know, sadly, by their own soul. One of the best descriptions of coveting that I heard of was from Timothy Keller. He's a pastor in New York City who really loves the Lord, helps people follow Christ. He says, coveting is when we elevate anything that God has created to the level of God himself. So God is exalted, and he's the best. By far, he has no rivals. And we take what God has created, blessings in our lives, and we elevate them to equal or higher status than God himself. God gives us a family or relationships. We think, if I put them under the Lord, you know, that's when they'll grow. But if we get them, that's even more important than God. Then they start to cause us heartache and the Lord heartache. Things can be the same way. God blesses us with things. We get them above the Lord himself. Then our lives get messed up and broken in that way. Once a pastor visited a family at home, and he was trying to encourage them in their faith, and they wanted to appear closer to the Lord than they really were. So after talking to the pastor for a while, the parents told their little daughter, Jenny, go get the good book that we all love. And so Jenny came back and gave the pastor the Sears catalog. Here, you know, this is it. And you might know, what would be in your hands? You know, something that you all love to the point of rivaling God himself. A source of coveting, a source of pain and difficulty in our life. Romans 1 says, they worshipped and served created things instead of the Creator. They worshipped and served created things instead of the Creator. And that was the downfall of our hearts. In the Old Testament, God's people didn't say, let's stop worshipping the Lord. What they said was, let's worship the Lord and let's worship other things too. So they wanted the Lord and a golden calf. They wanted the Lord and the pagan God who would guarantee good crops. Can we have that too? Can we have the Lord and good, whatever it is? And God says, no. That's sin. That's an opportunity to have your heart change and turn to me and know my forgiveness. You can ask the Lord, what are the golden calves in your soul that you might be coveting? I think all of us have three or four. You know, that God would constantly say, get those things under me. Count them as blessings. Don't count them as sources of your fulfillment or your joy, or even rest for your soul. One way to see what golden calves you are have in your life is by asking yourself the question, what in your life causes you the most unrest? Just a constant source of discontentment or agitation or just not feeling the peace of God in that area. You know, maybe it's because you've elevated that under God Himself and you haven't put it under the Lord. And He could get it back where it belongs, as a blessing, not as a source of difficulty for you. Coveting is idolatry, God's Word says in Colossians 3. It's a sin to be repented from. And its cousin is envy. I remember playing Little League early, doing pretty well, and always batting in the first five positions. You know, if you could boast in your old-time talents, you'll never find out how true that was. But I always had fun with Little League and I always liked to bat early. And one group of games, I was put in position number 7 or number 8. And all of a sudden, you know, my heart changed toward baseball, toward the Lord, and toward those first 5 guys who were in the position. I thought, hey, I wanted what they had. And it was bad for my soul. And God says, that's idolatry. There was no rest there. David Jeremiah quoted a poem, the title of which said, envy came to church, or covetousness came to church. And the words went like this. Envy came to church this morning, and being many, envy sat in every other pew. In other words, we're all susceptible to coveting and envy. Envy went to the parking lot, looked at the chrome and the model of the car, and took careful note of it. And analyzed how his car was. Envy looked at clothes that people put on and put a price tag on each one. And eventually put a price tag on each person. And that was a sad thing. Envy attacked everyone. But envy, in attacking some of his targets, noticed that some of them had taken the antidote of grace. They were impervious to what he was up to. They wore a shirt of the love of Christ at the foot of the cross on their soul. And so coveting and envy had no interest for them. Envy was excommunicated from the fellowship, because the power of God at work in people's lives. And envy could be about, coveting could be about a position. You know, I wanted to do this at work and the other guy got it. And now I live with that. Or somebody in my family got the bigger birthday cake than I did. Power or applause or accomplishments. Instead of a blessing under God, it becomes an idol. God can deliver us from that. Hudson Taylor is a great Christian man. He would often pray, Lord, give me rest or give me contentment. Even as a missionary to inland China, he fought with contentment in his soul. And I shared this on Wednesday night. He prayed. He said, I strove for faith. I didn't find it. I sought for trust, but it did not come. And it was not in striving that I found contentment. It was resting in the faithful one. So here's a strong Christian man. You might be a Christian who's very mature, but still struggle with discontentment and coveting and envy. You'd be like Hudson Taylor and just turn to Christ and say, He's the faithful one. He could help me in the health of my soul, which is what the Lord would have for us. Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content. And the following verse is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul found a rest for his soul in Christ himself. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And godliness for us is Christ. You know, we can't put anything else in that equation and have it make sense. Godliness plus contentment plus success at work is great gain. Well, that's up to the Lord. godliness plus contentment plus good health all the time, great gain. That's up to the Lord. We try to put ourselves before God. But as a gift from God, contentment can be given to us when we put Christ first. As God is first in our lives, the other things that we get agitated about or covet or discontented about soon become blessings again. We say, wow, that used to bother me all the time. Now I'm trusting God for that area because that's under the Lordship of Christ. We could ask ourselves before God, am I a contented person? You know, are you known in your own soul? Doesn't matter what other people think because you could fool them. But do you know in your own soul that you're a contented person? Because you know Christ and He's first in your life. Could you pray to the Lord? Lord, I know You're sufficient. You're my strength. And Lord, just show me You. Because in You is everything I need for obedience and a godly life. It's in the person of Christ Himself. We could pray, Lord, I yield. When we see unrest or coveting in our lives, we could say, Lord, I yield that area of my life to You. I put it under Your Lordship, and I say, this belongs to the Lord. It's been said in family life, there's no greater thing we could do for our loved ones or friends than to say, put them under the Lordship of Christ and say, this belongs to Christ. No greater thing you could do for your brother and sister in Christ or a particular church, Norwin Alliance Church, to put it under the Lord and say, this belongs to Christ. Give you a whole new perspective on Christ's love for His people. And there's nothing greater you could do for your walk with God. Say, this belongs to Christ. He will give grace and strength and to know the joy of God again. Have the attitude among ourselves, which is also in Christ. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Learn the secret. With surrendering to the Lord, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And walk in the contentment Christ would give today. He offers that is a gift with Him. Let's pray together as we prepare for communion.